The Raven and the Fox. Perched on a lofty oak, Sir Raven held a lunch of cheese. Sir Fox, who smelt it in the breeze, thus to the holder spoke. "Ha! How do you do, Sir Raven? Well, your coat, sir, is a brave one, so black and glossy, on my word, sir. With voice to match, you were a bird, sir, well fit to be the phoenix of these days." Sir Raven, overset with praise, must show how musical his croak. Down fell the luncheon from the oak, which, snatching up, Sir Fox thus spoke. "The flatterer, my good sir, aye liveth on his listener, which lesson, if you please, is doubtless worth the cheese." A bit too late, Sir Raven swore the rogue should never cheat him more. The Raven wishing to imitate the eagle. The bird of Jove bore off a mutton, a raven being witness. That weaker bird, but equal glutton, not doubting of his fitness to do the same with ease, and bent his taste to please, took round the flock his sweep, and marked among the sheep the one of fairest flesh and size, a real sheep of sacrifice. A dainty titbit bestial, reserved for mouth celestial. Our gourmand, gloating round, cried, "Sheep, I wonder much who could have made you such. You're far the fattest I have found. I'll take you for my eating." And on the creature bleating, he settled down. Now, sooth to say, this sheep would weigh more than a cheese, and had a fleece much like the matting famous which graced the chin of Polyphemus. So fast it clung to every claw, it was not easy to withdraw. The shepherd came, caught, caged, and to their joy, gave Croaker to his children for a toy. Ill plays the pilferer the bigger thief. Oneself one ought to know. In brief, example is a dangerous lure. Death strikes the gnat, where flies the wasp secure. The Frog That Wished to Be as Big as the Ox. The tenant of a bog, an envious little frog, not bigger than an egg, a stately bullock spies, and, smitten with his size, attempts to be as big. With earnestness and pains, she stretches, swells, and strains, and says, "Sis Frog, look here, see me. Is this enough?" "No, no. Well then, is this?" "Po-po, enough, you don't begin to be." And thus the reptile sits, enlarging till she splits. The world is full of folks of just such wisdom. The lordly dome provokes the cit to build his dome, and really there is no telling how much great men set little ones a-swelling. The Fables of La Fontaine by Jean de La Fontaine, translated from the French by Elisa Wright. The City Rat and the Country Rat. A city rat one night did, with a civil stoop, a country rat invite to end a turtle soup. Upon a turkey carpet they found the table spread, and sure I need not harp it how well the fellows fed. The entertainment was a truly noble one, but some unlucky cause disturbed it when begun. It was a slight rat-tat that put their joys to rout, out ran the city rat. His guest, too, scampered out. Our rats but fairly quit, the fearful knocking ceased. Return we.